This is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance. I'm delighted today to be with Harvey Seifter, who's visiting UT Dallas at the moment and has been sharing with us some of the interesting work he's been doing recently in the art of science learning. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your background and lead us into this project that you've been running.
Great. Thanks, Roger. Well, it's wonderful to be here. As Roger mentioned, I am the founder and the director of the Art of Science Learning. And what we do with AOSL is we work with the arts as learning and teaching tools. We use artistic skills, processes, and experiences to create opportunities for people to experience things that spark creativity, collaboration, innovation, engagement and passion, resilience, and so forth. And over the last really decade now, we've pursued a whole series of projects with the support of the National Science Foundation that looks at the kinds of impacts that arts-based learning have on innovation in informal settings, working with lots of different types of people in multi-generational and cross-disciplinary learning communities, and also measuring the outcomes.
Yeah, and so you have a study that's available online that listeners can find by following your website link. One of the simple things that I think comes across, you've been doing studies where some of the people have the arts based in experience and some don't.
Yes.
And then you compare what's happening in both cases. And in one case, it was just really dramatic. Maybe you could explain that one where the people with the arts baseline learning, all of them got a particular thing out of it, and the ones who didn't.
Yeah, it was very striking. One of the things that we looked at was the longer-term impacts of spending time working with the arts. So these were high school kids, and they did 20-hour innovation projects where they studied and practiced innovation. One group of them went through a really high-quality, engaging, project-based, hands-on innovation program. It was fairly traditional in nature. The other group went through the same program, except we pulled out 9 of the 20 hours, and instead we replaced them with arts-based experiences that we felt would help accomplish the same objectives as the more traditional teaching. And so we saw these very striking differences in what the teams did and the ways they collaborated and their creative thinking. But what you're referring to, Roger, was the longer-term impact. We went back and we asked all of these kids 4 to 6 months later, what was the impact here? Have you been able to apply what you learned in some aspect of your life, at studies at school or work or volunteering and so forth? And there were striking and statistically significant differences. The ones that had been through the arts-based program found much greater applicability. But there was something else that happened. In both groups, there were some kids who hadn't found that. In the arts-based group, many of the kids who hadn't yet applied it nevertheless had been thinking about it and felt that they would be applying it in the coming months. They were hopeful. They were optimistic. They felt that there was something of value there for them. There wasn't a single one of the kids that had not been through the arts-based program who had that similar experience of, we haven't done it yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Right. And so I, you know, one of the things that struck me as I've been hearing you talk about this is the word experience that you use in this case. So clearly the idea in the arts-based learning is not the learning objective in itself, but the experience that the arts bring to the table, which somehow then is something that lasts in the individual person.
Well, we think that there are learning objectives to all of the work that we do, but people don't experience them that way. They experience them as these really unique, immersive activities that they do themselves and with other people, where they're working with different forms and media and materials than they typically would do, and they're discovering things. And those discoveries have impacts on them. The experience itself, it stays in their memory. It gives them associations. It gives them rich material to draw on in different ways. And we see that those, in turn, have impacts. One of the values that the arts bring to the table in this kind of work is also the arts function as a practice domain for lots of the very practical skills that go into innovation. So it's lots of different levels, but we often tend to think of learning objectives as driving everything, whereas I when it comes to arts-based learning, I think of them as useful compass, but it's not what we're actually doing. We're not driving the objective.
Right, and I guess one connection I'd make on this particular discussion is, as I've discussed with you, I'm interested in how implicit knowledge becomes explicit, but also the fact that much implicit knowledge is embodied.
Yes.
Right? It's enacted.
Yep.
So, a master silversmith knows things just from doing and making.
Absolutely.
That comes through that experience, and there's no textbook that could ever allow you to acquire that implicit knowledge. Which is embodied, and the embodiment helps obviously in the not only in the memory but also the way that the human mind uses the body to figure something out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things that artists tend to do is they tend to make things to learn. And the process of actually creating something, whether it's movement pieces and machines that you create out of your body, or working with clay sculptures, whatever the form is, there's powerful discovery in all of that. And the discovery exists sometimes on a very rational, cognitive level, and sometimes it resides deep in emotional terrain and affect us in ways that aren't always linear or predictable, but can be very powerful.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, that study piece where you tested the people 6 months later, I've no doubt that part of that is the embodied sort of memorization that happens, or the experiential thing versus the explicit knowledge that you might you might have. Maybe let's just route this just to conclude this chat. So the work that you've been doing now for 30 years is now suddenly gained an interest. In this country, it's sometimes called the STEM to Steve movement, integrating the arts and design into science, technology, engineering, and math topics. As you've been watching what's been going on and being an active initiator over 30 years, what strikes you in the last 5 years? What's different? What is going on?
Yeah, it is extraordinary. I remember when I first started working at this intersection of art and science and learning, and I would try to explain to people what I actually do. People would look at me kind of the way that my dog looks at me when he hears a strange sound on the other side of the wall. It's interesting, but he doesn't really understand it. It doesn't make sense in his frame of reference. What's happened over these past years is that first, the world has changed in ways that people see and experience every day, where the ability to tolerate ambiguity, the ability to operate in complex and unpredictable situations, the ability to collaborate effectively and with emotional intelligence, these things are more and more important. People are now at a point where they feel it, they see it, they understand it, and increasingly, they are beginning to find their own intuitive ways to connect those experiences with experiences that they associate with art. And about 5 or 7 years ago, really, is when I sort of saw a tipping point take place. And the acceleration of interest in these things, first awareness and then interest, in the STEM to STEAM movement, in the work that the National Science Foundation was doing in beginning to really significantly invest in this work, in the work that major corporations began to study and to see as important to their own future in terms of innovation and developing leadership, and the diffusion of these ideas throughout society. It is really extraordinary.
You showed us this short video that's being shown on PBS, I think, which listeners can look out for. But one of the phrases that I think you used, or the, someone in the video, was one that circulates around here, which is the school that we're in, our technology and immersion communication. We're helping people to learn how to do jobs that don't exist yet, which isn't something that is going to make parents happy, because they're paying all this money to get someone. You know, what do you mean? I don't know what job they're going to get when they get out. But as you said, coincidentally, it crosses with this industry concern, certainly in the Dallas area, and I have no doubt that you've worked with GE a lot and a lot of other companies, where obviously it's part of the innovation creativity discussion, but they're finding that many of the graduates of universities are so narrowly specialized, you know, within computer science. Oh yes, I do cybersecurity. I can't do database management. That they're looking for individuals in their, you know, it's the IDEO and the other people, this idea of a T-shaped individual that, yes, has deep skills, but has broad enough knowledge that they can collaborate with other people, but also navigate their job into the areas that are emerging.
Exactly. Right?
And so, ironically, there's a convergence, I think, that's happened. Not only the nature of daily life, but also the concerns of companies of how within their sphere they innovate in ways using people that are too narrow.
The ability to help people become comfortable with ambiguity and discomfort is critical.
Yeah. So I think we've pretty much run out of time, but I just want to leave for something, whenever I engage in these discussions, we get into this inevitable discussion of, oh, but you're putting the arts in the service of industry, right? You're just trying to sell goods cheaper and better. My reply to that is, within the sciences, I was aware of the same discussion between what used to be called the pure sciences and the dirty applied sciences. Mm. Well, astronomy is a pure science. I mean, we justify what we do not by the market that we're going to create, but over the last 50,000 years, astronomers have come up with amazing things that other people have used. So how do you view this art in the service of industry, or art in the service of STEM, and vice versa?
I think these are all deeply connected and interconnected domains of knowledge and experience. And I think that humans do best when they find the points of connection, the points of leverage, really, where one can help impact the other, all to the service of the human experience.
Okay, I would agree with that. And to our listeners, please contact your politicians and say that you think art-based learning is a really good idea. Thank you, Javi.
Thanks, Roger.